This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The Department of Justice is appealing that ruling that struck down travel's mask mandate. Meanwhile, state of emergency declared in Arizona with a wildfire spreading. Yikes for our friends in Arizona. Russia and the Ukraine, what is the update there? The atrocities far worse than were reported in at least one city. Meanwhile, there are reports that there has been nuclear testing going on. What a surprise. From Putin himself, who released photographs of one of the missiles that carries nuclear warheads capable of a very long distance. Was this a threat to back off and stay out of Russia's business? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. Hope you are well wherever you hail from and you're listening to this show. Let's talk about what's happening in our backyard. We saw the unruly passengers and the zero tolerance and the fights and duct taping passengers and the arguments over masks and taking the mask off. Now, there's been a new poll that say the majority of Americans want masks for travelers. Wow. I'm surprised because what I've seen all over the place is people don't want the masks anymore, but this is one poll. It was a poll done by the Associated Press, NORC, Center for Public Affairs Research, the two of them combined, found that despite opposition to the requirement that included verbal abuse and physical violence against flight attendants, that did happen, 56% of those surveyed favored requiring people on planes, trains, and public transportation to wear masks, compared with 24% opposed. And then here's the big number. That in the middles, that number was 20%. People who say, I'm not in favor or opposed. I got no opinion on this, which is shocking, but okay. 20% in this particular poll said that. The Justice Department said on Wednesday they were going to file an appeal seeking to overturn the judge's order in Florida that came down on Monday that allowed people not to wear masks on airlines or going through most airports. So that notice came on the heels of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention asking Justice to appeal the decision, saying an order requiring masking in the indoor transportation corridor remains necessary for public health. So the CDC, which had said nothing on Monday and nothing on Tuesday, finally said something, and that's what prompted the Justice Department to say, okay, that's what we needed. We needed to hear that, and that's what we're going to do, right? We're going to pursue that. So people who wanted to fly mask-free got to do that the last couple of days. That will probably flip around, and then we'll see what happens with this appeal. In what direction does that go? We are definitely not done with the ultimate mask debate. We're not. About people who want a mask, people who don't want a mask, people who can't decide, people who just want to be told what to do. It is never easy, my friends. Never. All right, speaking of not easy, this does not go down easy. When you look at what was reported, in fact, it was reported, the first place I saw it was The Sun. And they had the video. Somebody else had sent me a link to the video where Putin allegedly test fired 16,000 mile an hour Satan II nuke, warning to those probably who threaten Russia. So here's the key to this. The key is that it's believed to have a range of 6,000 miles. That would make it the world's most powerful nuclear warhead, if that's true. It would make it that. There were photos released of Putin watching a test launch of the Sarmat, is what it's really called, the Sarmat missile. And Russia claims to have test-fired this missile in a message to the West. This is the best way I've heard it described. The missile can fly 11,000 miles, it can carry 15 warheads, and it does have the potential to destroy an area the size of France. In the video, you see a 115-foot missile being launched from an underground silo, which then triggers this enormous fireball. It traveled almost the entire length of Russia, 3,600 miles, in about 15 minutes. There was a full court press on this. Besides the photos released of Putin, Russia's defense ministry bragged that the Sarmat ICBM is able to overcome any missile defense system, saying that because of the range, because of its combat equipment, it has fundamentally expanded in terms of the number of warheads and types, including hypersonic gliders. There's reason to worry about that. So Putin watched the launch through a video link from Moscow, and then that's where they took the photos and then released the photos of him grinning, watching the missile launch. So apparently, one of the things that was said in being pretty aggressive is, you might think twice about threatening our country. I mean, that's how it was put. You might think twice about doing that. So here's another way to describe this warhead, this missile, what it could do. It carries bombs. I want you to think about this for a second. It carries bombs 1,000 times more powerful than those dropped by the U.S. on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan during World War II. 15 separate bombs, which would mean it could drop multiple nukes on an area in a single strike. So this was, I think, also in response to the ship in the Black Sea being sunk by the Ukrainians. Again, a show of, well, I was humiliated. He didn't say that, but I was humiliated because my most precious ship was sunk. So guess what we have? And we want to show it off and show you exactly what it can do. In the meantime, the situation in the Ukraine is the same situation that it's been, that Russia is pushing further east and doing everything they can to destroy the country, to put more pressure on those areas. He's not being stopped yet, right? The U.S. is sending Kyiv more weapons, because that's what they need. They need more weapons. And I think that is certainly what they're gambling on. We need weapons, constantly putting it out there. What else do we need? This is a crisis. There's things that you don't realize of what is happening here. Is there any possibility that there's going to be a peaceful resolution to this? It seems so doubtful, doesn't it? This has been months that this has been going on, the atrocities in the Ukraine. Stay with us.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com. 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
To the UK for a conversation with Robert Sandilands. He's written a book called The Bomb Maker's Apprentice. Robert, thanks for coming on.
No problem.
Tell me about the novel. Tell the listeners about the story. What is The Bomb Maker's Apprentice about?
It's about a soldier, an ex-soldier, whose younger brother was killed by a mob. Right? And he decides to go and join the mob to find out who was responsible for his brother's murder.
Ooh, and, you know, you're talking about, you've got Richard Barton. Tell us about the character Richard Barton.
Well, this is an ex-special forces, and when he was demobbed, he found it difficult to get a job, and he was approached by this, another ex-soldier, offered him a job within the criminal organization. And as it happened, it was the same criminal organization that was responsible for his brother's death. And he thought, well, this is an opportunity to find out what's happening. Because Richard Barton's parents were pressurizing him into get closure on their son's death.
Ah, to get that closure. For you, what was it like writing this book? I mean, was it fun for you because this was rattling around in your head? What was that process like?
It was fun, exciting, and finding characters, looking at people, observing people, habits, you know, neighbors and people in shops. And, no, I thought it was great. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed writing because I've been writing all my days. Since I was old enough to read and write, I've always been carrying notebooks and pencils with us. And having a scene, I tried to describe things. Like an artist, if an artist seen a lovely scene, they would sit down and they'd take pictures of it and go home and paint it. I would sit and write it, and describe it as much with as few words as possible.
What do you hope people take away from reading The Bomb Maker's Apprentice? Robert Sandilands, by the way, who we're talking to, you can get his book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, I would think that H. Turner. I would hope they'd be satisfied spending the money buying it. And they'd probably recommend it to other people, their friends. They're a good read.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, that's what you could hope for, right? That, to have a page turner. That's what we all want. So I agree with you there. It is a page turner. Will you write another, novel? Will you write another book? I would have to imagine there's more in you.
I'm on the fourth one now.
The fourth one? Wow. So you got the fourth one going. What's the fourth one called and what's it about? Do you know yet?
You're the same character, Richard Barton. And, It's basically a sequel all the way through.
A sequel with Richard Barton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting, because he's such an interesting character, and it's great when you can move along with the character, and that creates a lot of interest, of course, to see what happens next. And obviously you have more to tell, that's for sure. Robert, what did your family think? What did your wife think of you becoming a writer? I mean, you are writing, so, you know, you're as you said, you're on your fourth book. What did the family think?
Well, she's quite happy with it, like, you know. Would you like to ask her yourself?
She's supportive of you, so that's good.
Hold on, I'll get you to her. Sorry. Just Kate Delaney went to work with her. Hello?
What did you think of Robert's book, The Bomb Maker's Apprentice, and the fact that he's on his fourth book? What's that like? Is it fun?
The first one, The Bomb Maker's Apprentice, it was a page turner. I couldn't put it down. I had to keep on reading it to see what happened next.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly high praise. We are glad to hear from you. Thanks for verifying that. I love it. I just knew, because this book is a page turner. I agree with you. So thank you.
Yeah, I definitely am. Yeah, just like keep reading it and reading it.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to bed.
Yep. And so that's high praise for people listening. Thank you. And we can tell people you can pick up The Bomb Maker's Apprentice on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. So thanks for that. And let's say goodbye to Robert. Is Robert still there?
Yes, he's here.
Perfect.
Hello.
Robert, high praise from the missus. She says it's a page turner, and I agree. So thanks for coming on the show, and we wish you good luck in the future.
All right. Thank you very much for having us.
All right, from The Bomb Maker's Apprentice to what's happening in real life in Arizona for our friends there, fire managers all over the Southwest are dealing with strong wind. This is what happens. It's terrible when you have dry conditions and strong wind. We know this. It leads to that growth in wildfires, and that's what's happening. Hundreds of people were evacuated because of these fires that have bubbled up and scorched all kinds of structures. So it is officially the start to the fire season. A wildfire on the outskirts of Flagstaff ran through Wednesday. Dry grass, ponderosa pines around homes, and it is just nasty. So you have aircraft grounded for a second day because they can't get up there because of the high winds. And then you even had a major northern Arizona highway that had to be closed because of the smoke just covering the area. You couldn't see anything. Winds are expected to ramp up on Thursday. And Friday, a chance of maybe some rain. That would be great. But even stronger winds followed by another dry forecast into the next week. So it is fire season. You're seeing these burns. You can look at a map. There's all kinds of maps that will show you where the wildfires are burning. Four of the 16 what they call top level national fire management teams have been pushed out. They're dedicated to these fires in Arizona and New Mexico. That's what they do. You know, they get better and better at figuring out how to mobilize teams. And so at a big meeting in Flagstaff, the people questioned how a small fire that was reported outside of the city on Sunday afternoon ballooned into something that was 30 square miles. How does that happen? And the reason is what I said. I mean, look, you got flames that come and jump the containment lines. You have firefighters that question what could they do, but when you've got the swirling winds, when you have the dry conditions, you keep fighting. I looked at video of it, and it was horrifying from the sky. You could see how big it had gotten. And just a heads up for everybody that's in those areas. I lived in those areas. I know outside of Albuquerque what it could be like and how all of a sudden, boom, on a dime, it changes. You know, you get this in Colorado, too. Where we've seen that. We saw that just a month ago, how bad it was there. So, you know, you get a lot of tourists. You have people that are, it's beautiful terrain. People are hiking. People are riding horses on those trails. It's a big sports area. They're using off-road vehicles for all kinds of things. And when you see those flames and they shoot up the way they shoot up, boy, it's really about getting people out and evacuating and spreading the word as fast as possible because of what can happen, right? What can happen when you just see something that looks like it's small or you hear it's small and it's a little bit of ways, and then all of a sudden the directions of the wind change. When I was in Albuquerque and I was a television news reporter and I knew nothing about the wildfires, I didn't really think about it. Then all of a sudden, and they kept telling me, wildfire season is here and you're going to go out and do live shots, and boy, oh boy, did I learn quickly. I mean, we even tried to rescue animals to put them in the news van because all of a sudden the direction of winds would change and we'd have to move away from wherever the line was and where we were trying to show in the background, hey, stay out of this area. Here's what's happening in Santa Fe. Here's what's happening just outside of Albuquerque. And I really watched some acres burn over the years when I was there. And then the same thing in Santa Barbara. And we see that in Montecito in California, beautiful areas where when it's dry, they're not getting the rain and they're getting that wind. And it's like a tinderbox. And when something happens that sets it off, whatever it is, that's why they ban campfires. And that doesn't mean that that's going to protect everybody. But because of all the camping, that's what they have to do. That's what the U.S. Forest Service has to do to restrict those campfires. Or they just have to close the forest to all the visitors in some of these areas when that kicks in and starts to happen. So it's going to be a long summer, my friends. I just have a feeling.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The CDC is asking the Department of Justice to appeal a Florida judge's ruling that ends a mask mandate for travel on airplanes, trains, and buses. The move coming as White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki reminds everyone the COVID-19 pandemic is not over.
We are making our decisions based on public health and data and what the CDC is recommending.
The Florida Senate is approving a bill stripping special status from the most magical place on earth. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis had announced the agenda for a special session to include abolishing Disney World's self-governing body. The move is partly in response to Disney's vow to help repeal the state's parental rights and education law. President Biden traveling to Portland, Oregon on Thursday. This is USA Radio News. The price of gas is creeping back up.
Gas prices continue to rise. They're up a penny to $4.11 a gallon, according to AAA this week. This is the third day in a row that the national average price for regular is up. The lowest price gas in the country is in Georgia, where the statewide average is $3.71 a gallon. The most expensive gas in America, California, statewide average is down to $5.69 a gallon. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
An investigation is ongoing after Secret Service officers shot and killed an intruder at the Peruvian ambassador's home in Washington, D.C.
The officers fired those tasers. They did not take effect, and as these weapons did not take effect, ultimately the officers end up pulling the service weapons, firing shots, and this person is now deceased.
Metro D.C. Police Chief Robert Canty saying the man had smashed windows with a metal stake when Secret Service agents arrived. USA Radio News.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Our next guest, you're going to love her. I do. She's very funny. It's not funny what happened to her, and we have something in common, and I'll tell you about it in a second. Nora Burns is in our virtual green room. She's the founder of Leadership Experts. Think about this. She's got such a cool thing that she does for companies and associations. It's all about shifting perspectives. And boy, now more than ever do we need this. But can you imagine if you have your car stolen and you have to shift your perspective? I can think of a few other things that are going through your mind at that moment. And because it happened to me, I understand. So Nora, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, glad to be here.
So tell the listeners the story. What happened to you?
Well, it was this past spring, and I walked out to go to my car to do some errands, and I looked out on the street, and I was like, I could have sworn I parked there. And then I started clicking the little thing on my keys, which is really, it says panic button, but it's really the find your car and a lock button. And started pressing that and walking up and down the street thinking, where did I park? And can't find my own car. And called some neighbors out and said, have you seen my car? And one of my neighbors actually said, no, it's out here. I just saw it at 1 o'clock this afternoon. And this was at 3 o'clock. She's like, I saw it at 1 o'clock. And so we come up and we're walking the thing and it's gone. It is MIA. And I have the weirdest thing that happened, Kate, because all of a sudden I remember that I got a ping on my phone around 2:30, about half an hour earlier, saying that my Discover card had been declined. Now, this wasn't a particular surprise to me at this point in my life, because that card was maxed out. So I kind of figured I had an auto charge on it that I had forgotten about. And I was like, oh, I have to take care of that to make sure that whoever I was supposed to be getting paid got paid, right? And then it all came together when I realized my car was missing, and I remembered that that Discover card was in the center console of my Kia. And that's so that's when I realized, and I went and called Discover. They were amazing. They're like, oh, yeah, it was used at a 7-Eleven or attempted to be used at a 7-Eleven. They looked up the store number. They gave me the address. It was less than a mile from my house that somebody tried to use my card. So I knew that the car had been stolen at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Wow. So the card gets stolen. This happens to you. That's crazy about the card. And very funny, by the way, on the other side of that. But what do you do? You call the cops? You do what?
Yeah. So first of all, as an aside, I think this is a great product idea for Discover. I haven't been able to reach anybody there. Like, there should be just a card that you put in as a decoy so that you have the information on when somebody stole your car. It was very helpful. So I call the police. They tell me they're on backlog. That's not a great surprise. And they're going to follow up with me later in the evening to take a statement. And I call my insurance company and start that whole drill. And then a friend of mine comes over that night and we start driving. We start going looking for my car. And we drove through all like the sketchy motels not too far from my house. That made my neighborhood sound really kind of bad, but like I live on this stretch where probably 5 miles from my house, there's this stretch where there's a couple of these rent by the hour potential places. I don't know that for sure. It's just a story that I tell. But we went and looked at some of those places. We drove in some sketch neighborhoods, clicking the little panic button on my car and following the Tile app, hoping that my Tile app would pop up because there was a tile in the car that had been attached to my dog's harness. So I was hoping I might find it that way. It was going to be a great story for Tile if I found it that way, but c'est la vie, that was not the case.
So then that happens. You're trying to pull it apart. You're figuring this all out. What do they tell you to do? What do? You're carless.
I am carless. And you know, people often think when your car's stolen, they're like, oh, it's fine. The insurance company will cover it. Not that easy, right? And my insurance company was not particularly responsive in the idea of getting me a car right away and then trying to figure out how long I would need a car and all of that. I'm incredibly fortunate that two friends reached out to me that had seen when I posted on social media that my car had been stolen. Like, two friends reach out and say, we've got a spare car you can use. Now, I totally understand this as privilege, because my social circle happens to include people who have a spare car. And for me, talk about shifting perspective, there's so many times in my life that would not have been true, right? That simply wouldn't have been true, and I would have been stuck, very much stuck in my own house. So I was very fortunate. A friend lent me a car the next day, which afforded me to drive up and down these sketch neighborhoods even more, which I did every night when I couldn't sleep. I just go drive the neighborhoods trying to find my own car. I think I may have read a little too much Nancy Drew as a kid. So trying to find my own car and then talking to the insurance company and talking to the police. And then I realized that the 7-Eleven will have cameras. And I called the 7-Eleven and said, hey, do you keep your footage? And they're like, oh, yeah, we keep it for, you know, forever, essentially, the clerk said. And they said, come talk to the manager and he'll get you the footage. So I let the police know and I let the insurance company know that. And then the next week I was driving past the 7-Eleven and I thought, I wonder if they've gone to get that footage yet. And I stepped in and the manager was there. I was like, has anybody stopped in to ask about this footage? And they said, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I said, could you pull it up? And he was so nice. It turns out he was the owner of that 7-Eleven. And he took me into the back office where there's just this plethora of cameras. And we knew the exact time because the Discover card had pinged. So we pulled up the exact time on the footage and we could bring up an image of the person using my card. And we're able to freeze frame that. I took some, and he was great. I said, I can't believe I didn't bring a flash drive. And he's like, do you have your phone? I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. So I just brought up my phone and recorded it onto my device so we'd have that and then got that to the police. Well, initially, actually, what I did is I posted a screenshot of the guy who was using my card onto a Facebook page for Colorado Stolen Vehicles. There's this whole Facebook community of people in Colorado whose vehicles have been stolen. And under my posting about my car being stolen, I posted this picture of this guy and said, this is the alleged person who stole my car. They're in this picture using my credit card. If you recognize them, please let me know. And the next day, a member of the city of Denver's auto theft task force called me and said, I know that guy. Like, we're after that guy. What else do you have for me? And that's how I got tied to the police for this particular investigation.
Wow. So tell us the outcome. We're riveted by this story. What finally happened? Wow.
So as we fast forward several months, the police were amazing. Because at first I was really annoyed. Like a lot of people when their car's stolen, they're like, oh, the cops don't even care about my car being stolen. It's like, no, the math is bad. Around Denver, there's an average of 517 vehicles stolen every week. That's week, Kate. Week.
Wow.
517 vehicles being stolen every week. The city of Denver has 1,500 sworn officers. 1,500 sworn officers who have to take care of everything from your house getting broken into to a stabbing downtown to traffic control to all of these things. So we have 1,500 sworn officers in Denver PD and then another 1,500 or so in the sheriff's department. But that's bad math for 517 cars. So it's no wonder they couldn't go to the 7-Eleven to pull this footage. Who has that kind of time when that kind of crime is happening? So we fast forward. Denver Task Force is working on this. Kias and Hyundais are getting targeted because they are incredibly easy to steal. Key-operated Kias and Hyundais. So not the fob ones, but if you have a key-operated, not the ones where you do a push button, but where you put a key in, stupid easy to steal, as it turns out. And there was a gang of people that called themselves the Sopranos. Can't make this up. Cannot. I am not that creative. Can't make this up. They call themselves the Sopranos. And 11 people from that gang called the Sopranos were indicted on 91 charges having to do with auto theft and related crime. And my car was part of that case. My vehicle theft was one of those counts. And my financial theft of using my credit card without my permission was one of the other counts. And there's 11 people that are going to get put away for a very long time as a result of the Denver Task Force really focusing on this group of people. So.
Wow, that's an incredible story. And we don't have much time left, but tell us, you got a new car.
I did get a new car, so I definitely want to warn anybody who's driving a Kia or a Hyundai that is key operated. My insurance company told me no less than 3 times this is a known issue, which is my big issue with this, because if it's a known issue and my insurance company didn't tell me, and it's a known issue and Kia and Hyundai haven't fixed it, they're actually adding to the cost of police efforts in cities, right? Because out of those 517 cars, too many of them are Kias and Hyundais. But I have a brand new car. Well, it's new to me. It's a 2017 Mazda CX-5 that I love. Big, big shout out to Mazda. It's a fabulous car. So it ended up well. And now my mission is to inform people who have this car to make sure to protect it, the Kias and the Hyundais, get a club, you know, get a kill switch, protect your car, don't let it be a target.
Love it, love it. If people want to find you, Nora, how can they find you?
They can find me at theleadershipexperts.com, and that's my company's website, and my email address is Nora, N-O-R-A, at theleadershipexperts.com.
Thanks for sharing your story. It was great.
Thank you. And I know you had your car stolen. Anybody else who's had their car stolen, I actually have a whole survey collecting information on what your experience was, because I love me some data. So if you've had your car stolen, reach out. I'll get you the survey.
All right. I love it. I'm filling out that survey right now. She just told me that. I'm filling it out. All right. Thanks, Nora.
Thanks.
Ever
feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay, like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages, or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I can't tell you how excited I am to have Christine Hassing on with us. She's written a book called Hope Has a Cold Nose. And wait till you hear the story behind this book and the book itself. Christine, thanks so much for coming on.
Okay, it's my honor. Thank you.
Tell me what led you to write this book. Why did you write the book in the first place?
So I was in class with a veteran and a service dog, and we were given an assignment to create something we hadn't done before. And writing life stories was not new to me. I had been volunteering at a local hospice writing life stories for a couple of years. And just prior to meeting the veteran, I had actually been writing letters for a dear friend who was dying of cancer, and we were writing letters for her to leave to her two sons. And so anyway, I asked the veteran if I could write his life story. And what made that new for me is I had not written a life story for somebody who was not knowingly dying. And this veteran very graciously said yes. And so I wrote his story. And in his telling the story, he shared with me a statistic I did not know at the time, that 22 veterans commit suicide a day. And it just absolutely broke my heart to think that there was 22 souls that reached a point where they lost their sense of hope. And so I felt called, inspired, whatever might be the word, to write a book and write life stories of hope and healing and dignity found with the unconditional acceptance and love of a service dog.
So in the book, you really dive into this, talking about matching humans with the right dog, the right service dog, and you tell these stories. Tell us more about the book.
Yeah, so there's 23 life stories. They all have, you know, the common theme of PTSD, but I like to reframe it as pain, trauma, sorrow, or despair, because then I think that takes away any chance of a stereotype when we hear the acronym PTSD. And pain, trauma, sorrow, despair is something we all know at least one aspect of at least once in our lives. And the other theme is the unconditional listening and the unconditional acceptance, because a dog has no judgment. They can't speak back. They can listen and love. And each of the stories, they have that common theme, but each of them are different. One, because they're each individual life story. But my approach with each person was simply to listen. And so some people wanted to talk about their deployment. Others wanted to talk about how their life had changed once they got their service dog. And others wanted to share things from their childhood as well. So each story is unique with a common theme.
Tell us one of the stories. I mean, it's probably hard to pick out your favorite, but tell us one of the stories.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much time do we have for all 23? I will share, there's one story that comes to mind immediately. It was a gentleman who had been a veteran during the Vietnam War. And when he was serving in Vietnam, he had a canine dog that also served with him, who was the dog to sniff out harm. And he returned to the United States and unfortunately was not able to bring that dog back with him. And that broke his heart and left him very sad, feeling very guilty, along with the traumas of his experiences during that time. So he lived with anxiety, nightmares, you know, a lot of the things that we hear when we hear PTSD. And about 30 years later, he got involved in his community with building a replica of the Vietnam Wall that they could travel to different events, different engagements, and share that wall. So he was on a tour with this wall, and he happened to cross paths with Northwest Battle Buddies in Oregon, or Washington, I should say, Washington State. And he happened to know one of the people that works in that organization, who came up and showed him a picture of a puppy and was asking his advice on how to train this dog, because this person knew this veteran sharing the story had experiences with training dogs from his time in service. So this gentleman shared, and a few months later, their paths crossed again. And again, he was shown a picture of this dog and the progress, hearing how he was doing. And fast forward about another year, so I'd say about 2 years, because that's usually what it takes to train a dog, he went to a fundraising event with Northwest Battle Buddies, and he was a speaker, which was really hard for him because he, again, with his anxiousness, wasn't comfortable, but still did that. And at the end of his speech, the founder of Northwest Battle Buddies came up to him and pointed to the back of the room. And the dog that he had been seeing pictures of was given to him that night to be his service dog. And he started training and found a lot of healing from the dog that he couldn't bring to the United States with him, found a lot of healing on his journey with PTSD, and found a deeper bond with his children because they gained an understanding of the story he had been able to talk about until he shared it for the book.
Wow, what a beautiful story. And there's so many other stories, too, that just they'll just make you smile and get you teary-eyed and everything else. How did you find these stories?
It was, I would say, word of mouth, reaching out. You know, so the first veteran connected me with three additional individuals. I would reach out to organizations, and there would be one person who would want to graciously share their story. They would maybe know somebody or not, and it just became kind of through a two-year journey. One of the things, I had a goal. I wanted at least 22 stories because of the symbolism of 22 lives a day. And just before our world pandemic hit, right after it hit, I gained the last five stories of my goal to complete the book. And I always felt like that was a sign that the book needed to be out there not only for the 22 lives a day, but for what everybody was suddenly starting to understand about isolation, anxiousness, and some of those things that I think a lot of the people in the world are starting to experience over the last couple of years.
Yeah, wow. Good for you. What do you hope people take away from reading Hope Has a Cold Nose, which you can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold?
Yeah, so a couple of things. One, I would like to inspire an awareness of a journey with PTSD, foster a compassion for that journey. But also, raise awareness about the holistic healing effect of dogs, service dogs, therapy dogs, emotional support dogs. But in all of those ways, there's a lot of healing power in that. And also to foster a common, more of a, take away the judgment, I guess that's what I'm trying to say, Kate, is take away the judgment that we sometimes have when we hear certain acronyms, or we don't know what to say because we don't know how to handle somebody's pain from their trauma or those things. And foster unconditional listening. I think that was one of the things that so many of the veterans said, as they said, my dog just listens. I can tell them anything. And they said, even if I have someone close to me who really tries to listen and understand, for the veteran, they're still judging themselves. And so they're still expecting the person they're talking to judge them. Where a dog just looks at them with those loving eyes and holds absolutely no judgment. So I would also like to foster us unconditionally listening. We don't have to accept the story, but I think if we listen, we start the healing process for people too.
Oh, so well said. Again, the name of the book is Hope Has a Cold Nose. Christine Hassing, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, thank you. Definitely my privilege.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.